The poem I have chosen for Christmas Day in Waiting on the Word, my Advent anthology, is Milton's great classic Ode on the Morning of Christ's Nativity, which starts off with a series of verses in the Spenserian form and then moves into a hymn. It's quite a substantial piece I'm going to read to you, although it's not the whole of that poem. So from the Ode on the Morning of Christ's Nativity by John Milton. This is the month, and this the happy morn, wherein the Son of Heaven's eternal King, of wedded maid and virgin mother born, our great redemption from above did bring. For so the holy sages once did sing, that he our deadly forfeit should release, and with his Father work us a perpetual peace. That glorious form, that light unsufferable, and that far-beaming blaze of majesty, wherewith he wont at heaven's high council table to sit the midst of trinal unity, he laid aside. And here, with us to be, forsook the courts of everlasting day, and chose with us a darksome house of mortal clay. Say, heavenly muse, shall not thy sacred vein afford a present to the infant God? Hast thou no verse, no hymn or solemn strain to welcome him to this, his new abode? Now, while the heaven by the sun's team untrod hath took no print of the approaching light, and all the spangled host keep watch in squadrons bright, see how from far upon the eastern road the star-led wizards haste with odours sweet. Oh, run, prevent them with thy humble ode, and lay it lowly at his blessed feet. Have thou the honour first thy Lord to greet, and join thy voice unto the angel choir from out his secret altar touched with hallowed fire. The hymn. It was the winter wild, while the heaven-born child, all meanly wrapped in the rude manger, lies. Nature in awe to him hath doffed her gaudy trim, with her great master so to sympathize. It was no season then for her to wanton with the sun, her lusty paramour. Only with speeches fair, she woos the gentle air, to hide her guilty front with innocent snow, and on her naked shame pollute with sinful blame the saintly veil of maiden white to throw. Confounded that her Maker's eyes should look so near upon her foul deformities. But he, her fears to cease, sent down the meek-eyed peace. She, crowned with olives green, came softly sliding down through the turning sphere, his ready harbinger, with turtle wing the amorous clouds dividing, and waving wide her myrtle wand, she strikes an universal peace through sea and land. No war nor battle sound was heard the world around. The idol's spear and shield were high uphung. The hooked chariot stood unstained with hostile blood. The trumpet spake not to the armoured throng. And kings sat still with awful eye, as if they surely knew their sovereign lord was by. But peaceful was the night, wherein the Prince of Light his reign of peace upon the earth began. The winds with wonder whist, smoothly the waters kiss, whispering new joys to the mild ocean, who now hath quite forgot to rave, while birds of calm sit brooding on the charmed wave. The stars with deep amaze stand fixed in steadfast gaze, bending one way their precious influence, and will not take their flight for all the morning light, or Lucifer that often warmed them thence, but in their glimmering orbs did glow, until their Lord himself bespake and bid them go. And Though the shady gloom had given day her room, the sun himself withheld his wonted speed, and hid his head for shame, as his inferior flame the new enlightened world no more should need. He saw a greater sun appear than his bright throne or burning axle tree could bear. The shepherds on the lawn, or ere the point of dawn, sat simply chatting in a rustic row. Full little thought they then that the mighty Pan was kindly come to live with them below. Perhaps their loves, or else their sheep, was all that did their silly thoughts so busy keep. When such music sweet their hearts and ears did greet, as never was by mortal finger struck, divinely warbled voice answering the stringed noise, as all their souls in blissful rapture took, the air, such pleasure loath to lose, with thousand echoes still prolongs each heavenly close. Nature, that heard such sound beneath the hollow round of Cynthia's seat, the airy region thrilling, now was almost won to think her part was done, and that her reign had here its last fulfilling. She knew such harmony alone could hold all heaven and earth in happier union. At last surrounds their sight a globe of circular light that with long beams the shamefaced night arrayed. The helmed cherubim and sworded seraphim are seen in glittering ranks with wings displayed, harping in loud and solemn choir with unexpressive notes to heaven's newborn air. Such music, as 'tis said, before was never made, but when of old the sons of morning sung, while the Creator great his constellations set, and the well-balanced world on hinges hung, and cast the dark foundations deep, and bid the weltering waves their oozy channel keep. Ring out, ye crystal spheres, once bless our human ears, if ye have power to touch our senses so, and let your silver chime move in melodious time, and let the bass of heaven's deep organ blow, and with your ninefold harmony make up full consort to the angelic symphony. For if such holy song enwrap our fancy long, time will run back and fetch the age of gold, and speckled vanity will sicken soon and die, and leprous sin will melt from earthly mould, and hell itself will pass away and leave her dolorous mansions to the peering day. Yea, truth and justice then will down return to men, orbed in a rainbow and like glories wearing. Mercy will sit between, throned in celestial sheen, with radiant feet the tissued clouds down steering, and heaven, as at some festival, will open wide the gates of her high palace hall.